Just remember, ladies and gentlemen, whoever controls your money controls you. And that is why we are looking forward to speaking with Dustin Nemos tonight about bankers and global rule. Without further ado, here he is. Welcome back, Dustin Nemos. Great to have you on the program tonight. And I'm not kidding you.
Thank you.
Provided you're there, of course.
I'm here, yeah. All right. Thank you for having me back on, John. It's good to be back. And there's so much to discuss and some of the scariest legislation that I've ever seen in terms of free speech.
Yeah, can you believe these guys are trying to pull off the 6090? You know, what really gets me is it's a, I don't have their names at hand. I saw them earlier and I was nauseated, so I just turned away. Suffice to say, it was a Republican and a Democrat that got together. So this is intended to get people to say, oh, well, if it's bipartisan, then it must be a really good thing. It's like, no, it's not. Only a Democrat would come up with such a thing, and a sellout Republican would back him up or her. So over to you. Tell us about this. Tell us about the, I think we know, but you're going to put your fine point on this, I'm sure, the potential consequences of defining anti-Semitism too broadly in legislation like this H.R. 6090. Clearly, they don't even know what a Semite is, but maybe that's a subject for another time. Over to you.
Well, that's true, and that is another fun rabbit hole, but with H.R. 6090, this was apparently, you know, widely divided Congress. They can't agree on anything. They can't even have a civil conversation, at least in front of the cameras. Now, we know they have dinner afterwards, but at least when they're performing their little routine, normally they are at odds and they don't seem to get along. But on this particular issue, both sides united and quickly, overwhelmingly shoved the biggest violation of free speech that's ever been conceived. It's not even just that you can be outlawed for certain things that you might say. You can have a felony opinion. You can have felony fact. You can cite factual evidence and believe sincerely what you say and still go to prison for life in Canada right now for saying things like Christ is King because you offend someone. And these flexible sort of definitions, they're very subjective. They don't really give you a legal definition. They kick it over. They say that it goes to the working definition from an NGO. Now, this NGO can change their mind on what that means from the moment to moment. So if they decide that you're offensive to them tomorrow, then it's illegal for you to hold that opinion. And it's illegal for you to say those things, whether they're in the Bible, whether they're real, whether you believe them, doesn't matter anymore.
You know, Dustin, you are known to the people who know your work as an intrepid researcher. So when people go to your website, the Serapeum, T-H-E-S-E-R-A-P-E-U-M, theserapeum.com, what do they find? All the banned, hidden, and censored content that they don't want you to see is what's written here.
Yeah, it's the greatest secrets of the deep state. It's what they've hidden from the sciences, the history, the conspiracy news information, the recent history, the ancient history. It's what's in the Bible that they don't tell you. It's what they took out of the Bible. It's what they put in the Bible. It's who they are, and it's what they believe, and it's what they have been doing to us all along throughout human history. So it's really a lot of information, but ultimately it's all of the stuff that they don't want you to know.
Yeah, if you want to tamper with if there's one book, one set of writings that you could tamper with, which would have the greatest effect, I'm thinking it would be the Bible, the Holy Scriptures. And it's true. It's absolutely true. So what do you see as far as a possible enforcement of this bill? First of all, do you think this will actually go through? And the enforcement of the bill, what kind of impact is it going to have on, I mean, just what was once regarded as normal dialogue and debate surrounding the state of Israel and its policies on university campuses?
Well, they're not really interested in debate. We saw this with Ben Shapiro wanting to debate Candace Owens, but then running away and using a gag order in order to stop the debate from happening. No, they want to play games and silence their opposition and even kill and hurt their opposition. This is the rhetoric that we're hearing. So I see it happening the way that we've seen it already happen. We're not even at the beginning of this. We're kind of late in it. The federal law at the U.S. level, H.R. 6090, this is going to be one of the last straws to drop on this one. We already have over, I think, 30-something states. Florida has something that's about to be signed any day by DeSantis, which is called HB 8, and it's the same thing. It kicks it over to a Jewish NGO to decide a subjective felony opinion, felony fact, felony perspective of whatever offends them that day. Most states have adopted this. Most of the West is adopting this. People in Greece are being arrested. People in Canada are being arrested for praying outside of abortion clinics quietly under their breath to God. If you protest with the wrong words, if you say the wrong words to the wrong person, they're going to add what is essentially a hate crime kicker and call you an anti-Semite, which is, in today's terms, worse than a terrorist. They're going to go after this full speed with everything they got as soon as they can. I don't think it's going to be enforced until Trump term two. He's promising already to go after the anti-Semites and to bring back public executions and beheadings, etc. This is not a joke. But, you know, they can't enforce it this week because right now they're dealing with a massive youth revolt at the college level, all these protests around the baby bombing that's happening in Gaza. And they are funding both sides of it, trying to co-opt this movement, trying to infiltrate and lead it astray. Soros is funding people out there on the left-wing side to go out there and, you know, dress up like they're Palestinians and say, mostly to Jewish people usually, and say things like, we hate America, or we hate white people, or death to America, or free Palestine. You know, they want to mix in. They want to gain control of the narrative. And they have lost it. So I think we're seeing a lot of that in the streets right now with our military and our police using SWAT tactics against kids. But it's coming to us soon for the wrong think.
So in Canada, you can actually go to prison for going out into the public square and letting anybody hear you say Jesus is Lord?
If you so Christ is King is an anti-Semitic phrase. If you look it up, the media will tell you it's an anti-Semitic phrase. Apparently it offends them. So, you know, and this has actually, for those who have been paying attention on social media lately, a lot of social media influencers have been saying Christ is King. And Candace Owens was a big example. She got basically fired, bought out of her contract with The Daily Wire and Ben Shapiro because of this. This is a big deal to them. It triggers them. For some reason, they don't like Jesus. But, you know, that is enough to be considered an anti-Semitic additional kicker. So yeah, and I don't know how it works in Canada. You don't even have to commit a crime in Canada. Here, I think in Florida, it's a kicker where if you litter, they'll add a hate crime kicker to your litter and you get 5 years minimum or something. It's ridiculous. But, you know, they have it differently in each state. But the point is that the whole government and everything about it at federal and state level and the entire Western world and all of their governments are in sync all at once to shut down dissent of Israel, who are baby bombing left and right, who are behind the jab, etc. So we're at the final hours of free speech. We better make it count.
You know, people individually, even out on the battlefield, you know, when you've run out of ammo and you're there by yourself and there's your enemy soldier over there, your knives are broken. You're both, you know, shot up and bleeding. You just sit there with your enemy, you know, going, well, what the hell? Why should we go for each other hand to hand? I don't know if you're up for it, but I'm not. It's like, why don't we just sit this one out? We see anybody coming, I'll crawl over to my side of the line, and you crawl back over to your side of the line. Right now we're in no man's land. That's how we met. But, you know, when people form into groups, and then the ideology becomes established, and then there's the blowback for not embracing the ideology. That's where it happens. You know, this talk about, you know, Jews this and Jews that and Arabs this and Muslims that. On an individual basis, everybody can get along. I've seen it over and over and over again. I know a lot of, I'm not going to say lots of Jewish people, but I know a number of them. I mean, more than a dozen. I've done business with them. Some of the little Jewish girls are as sweet as they could be. Very, very nice people. But sooner or later, the ones that want to control everything weaponize their identity to the point where friendship becomes difficult, and only your best friends are going to be able to go off. Forget all of that. We're friends. We're always going to be friends. I don't much care what you think. And it's just it's sad, you know, because it's always the normal people who wind up being the fatalities.
Yeah, and I don't want to pick on anybody, but using specific examples of phrases that they consider anti-Semitic that are now going to be illegal, saying that the Jews killed Jesus right out of the Bible, that's going to be illegal. So the whole chunks of the Bible. Even Tucker Carlson was saying they basically made the New Testament illegal here. And this is a ostensibly not just one Christian nation, but the entire West. All Christian nations all at once are basically, all of their politicians are racing to outlaw Christ.
Dustin, there's only one reason for this, and that is, and please, for Pete's sake, straighten me out if you hear me going wrong, because I don't want to say stuff on the public airwaves or anywhere else for that matter that is just patently wrong. It's incorrect. It's not factual. It's rubbish. But the Khazarian banking cartel has its hooks into virtually everything in Eastern and Western Europe, the United States, Canada, and with the possible exception, I'm saying possible exception, of the ancient Rus, now known as Russia, the Russian Federation. So, if you squeeze these countries in the money department, you can get them to say and do anything that you want them to. Or is that an oversimplification?
No, and they do weaponize finance and all of the central banks and the entire central bank concept of fractional reserve banking and this, you know, fake money and it's, you know, interest and basically government top-down control, boom-bust cycle stuff. All of that is them, always was. And, you know, communist China, Mao had them over his shoulder. Same thing in Russia. Same thing with our race instigations here. We, for example, behind Rosa Parks, it was them. They put her up to it. Even Ben Shapiro admitted it. And I can actually, this sounds a little bit out there, but I can pretty much back it up. It's slightly hyperbolic because there may be one or two exceptions where you can think of where I'm wrong. But basically, every single time throughout all of human history, every organized evil was always them. And it was right there in Judges, too. God told us he's no longer going to drive out those tribes, which Joshua failed to leave alive, talking about the seed line of the serpent, the bloodline of Satan, the Canaanites, those tribes which Joshua was told to wipe out and not any, oh, he failed to wipe out. God told us we're no longer, I'm not going to drive them out anymore. They're going to be your deep state to test you. And that's in Judges 2 and in other places with the blessings mentioned, such as in Deuteronomy. And we're seeing it play out again and again and again throughout the West.
Do you know, I'm reminded of G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. And what are the three things that we got? Folks, you're going to hear me say this until I'm confident that pretty much everybody has heard it. In 1913, we got three things, and actually four. We got the Federal Reserve, we got the income tax, and we got the founding of the Anti-Defamation League. And the next year, we got World War One, and then World War Two. I mean, what is it going to take for people to figure out who's pulling the strings? And by the way, how did they seize control? I'm talking about the Khazarian mob. How did they seize control of the money system? Because they did. And concentrated pretty much in the city of London.
Okay, well, there's a lot of answers to that. And, you know, graft, corruption, being the children of Satan, help. But some specific things happened around, for example, Napoleon and the Battle of Waterloo with the Rothschilds and a whole lot of money transfer. Basically, Napoleon unleashed them and funded them again. And they have been sort of the banking cartel behind both sides of pretty much every war and most of the royal families and their disputes, et cetera, allowing them to basically buy their way in to most of the royal families of Europe, if not all, and infiltrate and even replace, such as we've seen with like the UK family and such. Now, as far as, you know, how this works in the modern era, they're all based at sort of the headquarters is the City of London. Not London, the city that we're all familiar with, but something called the City of London, which is a smaller geography inside of it. It's its own state, basically, kind of like the Vatican, and it's filled with dragon statues and banks and big expensive doors. And this is our sort of financial headquarters of the banking deep state of the world. The way the Pentagon works is its military headquarters, and the way that Rome works is its ecclesiastical headquarters. And those three legs all serve the same bloodline. But in terms of the finances, I mean, it comes from so many places. It's come from the Rothschilds, for example. I consider them to be sort of the Dukes of Edom, mentioned in the Bible. The Khazarians are Edom and Amalek. And I also, you know, I see it coming from places like Rome. I mean, they have massive wealth where they had infiltrated Rome, and it still has all that wealth. They were never overthrown. They're still an emperor. They call him a pope now, but and they've lost their military because, ironically, well, the Jews were adding bronze and copper to the gold and silver back then, and they were diluting the money supply, kind of like today. And that eventually caused the military to revolt and the entire economy to sort of fall apart. But the seat of Rome is still there, and they have a ton of wealth. So there's all kinds of old power coming to the front here to control and manipulate the strings. It's always them.
Yeah, that's interesting. If there are two big superpowers and you want to control the world, what are we going to do about this? Well, you get your superpowers to destroy each other. That's what they're trying to do now.
Yeah, I see it as... Well, go ahead. Sorry.
No, you go ahead.
Well, what you see is Ukraine is a microcosm, and it's also a history lesson because Khazaria, Edom, was kicked out of Khazaria, which is where Mount Seir in the Bible with Edom is, by the Rus in Ukraine. I think I might have mentioned this before with you, but just a real quick recap. What is happening there now is revenge. New Khazaria is being founded on the graves of all of the Ukrainian people who are being frog marched and drafted and kidnapped off the streets. And we're talking young people, children 15 and up, I think it is now, being shipped off to the front lines or force marched basically into a meat grinder. There's no intention for them to win. They're not meant to win. All this money to Ukraine is not meant to win a war. All they're doing is ethnically cleansing all of the same people they were already ethnically cleansing in Ukraine. They're killing whitey, which is part of their religious agenda in the Talmud. Kill all the whites, kill all the Christians, and enslave everybody else. But they're getting revenge and clearing them out.
Yeah, well, what they're doing is they're killing the Israelites. The chosen people are the Israelites, not the liars who call themselves, well, the J word, but are not. Yeah. So I've decided, Dustin, I'm going to use the K word, the Khazarian word. And we'll just leave the word Jew out of it completely, because there are too many people out there who don't understand that because they identify, I was born Jewish, you know. Okay. Well, now, are you a Judahite or are you a Semite or are you Khazarian? I mean, it's just how it is. And I can't remember who it was. This old brother said, "Who are these Khazarians? I don't know any Khazarians." It was a monarch, a woman. I don't remember at this moment who it was. It'll come back to me. But that's what they're doing. They're just getting both sides to kill each other, and then they'll just come right in. I mean, what other reason could there be for Volodymyr Zelensky to declare Ukraine is the land of the chosen people? He's sure that God has a Ukrainian chevron on his shoulder, just absolutely sure of it. And why did he say, "We want to make a big new Israel"? Oh, I see.
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, he's bragging about replacing the whites, and he's talking about a new multicultural Ukraine and a new Israel, because that is the blueprint for Europe and America and the UK. They're going to just get us into a big useless war, brother war, with other Christians like Russia, and they're going to force us to kill each other.
Well, I hope
and
that doesn't happen. Yeah.
Briefly, I want to mention this because there is a lot of confusion around that word. Until around the time of the King James Version and about 1,500 years almost after Jesus Christ, there was no word Jew. It was made up far later. And then it was injected into Bibles about the same time they took God's name out of Bibles over 6,000 times and put in the Lord instead of Yahweh.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, it's 1775, I think, is the date that the word Jew entered the Bible. If I'm not mistaken, 1775. Yeah.
Depending on the edition.
Yeah, this is really something. And everything that has been Yeah, here we go. This is from JTA.org. British Jewish Dominion in Africa urged by Count Kudenhova, clergy. I mean, folks, this is crazy. Proposed today that a center of Jewish immigration be organized in Africa as a common British Jewish dominion. I mean, at some point it becomes undeniable. And then, if you want to figure out, once again, this has been said many times, you want to find out who rules you. You want to find out who your enemy really is. Well, just pick out the one that you can't talk about. Oh, no, no, no. You can't say anything about that. Christ is King will get you prison in Canada. Who would have ever thought such a thing was even possible? Well, apparently it's not only possible, it's reality, according to our guest tonight, Dustin Nemos. Be sure and check out his website, thesarahpayum.com. You'll see a lot of things in there that, well, you're not going to see very many other places, if any. Here and there, but you'll have to look for them. All right? All right, freshen up that proper cup of tea, settle back, and we shall continue this exciting episode of Caravan to Midnight, disturbing to some, enlightening to others, but in any case, riveting. That's what I'm saying. Stand by, we'll be right back. Although the Caucasus or Caucasus is culturally diverse, its inhabitants tend to identify as exclusively Caucasian rather than European or Middle Eastern. Oh, the Caucasus, you mean the mountains? Yeah, that's where Caucasian comes from. So here's the thing. We've been in exile for over 2,000 years. Over 2,000 years. And it doesn't matter. The chosen people are the vine, real Israel, not the state of Israel, this little patch of land over there, real Israel, the people. And those grafted into the vine by confessing that Christ is the Messiah. But being a real Semite doesn't help you without Christ. Anyone rejecting Christ is doomed. All those words, I think the most interesting one was Steve Jobs went, oh, wow. Aleister Crowley said, when he was dying, said, Satan, leave me. Yeah. Another guy said, I'm in hell. Folks, look, this sounds like a bunch of made-up storybook stuff. It's not. It really isn't. So the chosen people are the, and it does not matter who you are, what your bloodline is, it does not matter. If you confess in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, and you speak it with your mouth, and you mean it, you are saved. If you don't, you are not. Oh, that just sounds so fundamentalist. It doesn't matter what it sounds like. The truth is the truth. It does not require your belief in it to exist. Well, I'm just going to hold my position. I reject everything you say. No, do it at your own risk. But I'll tell you what, eternity is a very long time. It really is, right? Dustin, this whole thing about having been in exile for 2,000 years, it's absolutely true. And you mentioned earlier, everybody's getting into that the kill whitey thing. Oh, yeah, I got to get rid of them because the Israelites are the Anglo-Saxons. You agree? Sure.
Absolutely, yeah. And that's one of the greatest secrets that they don't want you to know. In fact, I can elaborate if you like, but go ahead.
Yeah, please do. That'd be fine with me.
So, some people call it like the Christian identity movement or the British identity movement because it did crop up in Britain for a while there, and there's still a strong presence there. But it's always, of course, been a very small minority. And even in the scriptures, it tells us, I think it was Paul, he says, Beloved, I would not that ye be ignorant of this, but forgetfulness has come in part upon Israel for her sins. And I'm just going off memory here, but I'm pretty close. And that's what's happened to us. We've forgotten who we were because of our sins, because of our constant falling away from his law and into idolatry. And when we do that continually throughout time and over again in the Bible, he would withdraw his divine protection and blessings, and we would be conquered by our enemies. We would be enslaved. We would basically be destroyed, almost down to the last man in some cases. And in the case of Noah, even before the Israelites, it was almost down to the last man. But again and again, he saves a remnant of believers, and that's the remnant that will come out of this tribulation now. And in terms of, you know, they've been trying to stop this British Israelite type Christian identity thing for a long time. There's a lot of, for example, the ADL. It's one of their number one type hate speech, you know, targets out there. They go and profile specific pastors that teach this kind of stuff, of which there are a few. And all of the evidence, 100% of the evidence, from the Bible describing the Israelites to the prophecies of what they would do and have done, to the archaeological evidence, the etymological word evidence, the evolution of the languages, the anthropological evidence with pretty much all of the pots and the urns and the clay jars of history are telling us the same story. And we had many different names, for example, the Saxons, because of this confusion. And in our time of exile, you know, our enemies who conquered us named us different things like Scythians and et cetera. But Saxons is really just a variant of Isaac's sons, which are the Israelites. That's Jacob, Isaac's sons. So Jacob and his sons, the Israelites, would be the Saxons that became a big portion of Europe.
All right, hang tough for just a second. We have a very brief intermission here featuring Gil Maz's daily border update. And then we'll come right back and get, we're going to have a regular lightning round here. So I'm thinking maybe you ought to loosen your headband rather than tightness. This is Caravan. We will be right back.
Everybody go to ctmstore.com and get your NAC and your bromelain and destroy some spike proteins today.
I would like to smash them.
Good.
Go to ctmstore.com. Just click on Dr. Waterman's collection.
And pick them all up.
Absolutely.
Goodbye.
This is Gil Maza with your daily border update. Is this manufactured and intentional Biden illegal alien border invasion a, quote, humanitarian crisis? A humanitarian crisis is defined as a singular event or a series of events that are threatening in terms of health, safety, or well-being of a community or a large group of people. Everyone knows that the millions upon millions of illegals pouring into our country from all around the world were enthusiastically invited by the Biden administration and facilitated into our country by our own DHS-CBP. They did this by making all pathways to citizenship, legal and illegal, quote, lawful pathways, unquote, and the entirety of the United States border an open port of entry. DHS-CBP social media claims hourly that the laws in the U.S. have not changed. That is true. They simply have willfully refused to enforce them. Check out our news page called Border Watch Daily for all the current news and best sources for border and national security news, and follow me at O Patrol HQ on X and Instagram.
Shall we gaze into the magic ball and see what the future holds for you?
Fire!
You either confess who you are and what you want, and you give your soul to the Lord, or that is your future. It's just how it is. Look it up. Look at all these world-renowned atheists who, at the moment of death, cried out all kinds of things like, oh my God, what a mistake. Oh my, Satan, leave me. You need to look this up. I don't expect you to just listen to this, you know, and it's going against everything that you've been indoctrinated with forever. Dustin Nemos, I want to ask you something here. Please differentiate for us between the actions of certain elite groups and the general Jewish population, because we are not picking. They've been indoctrinated. Jewish people have been indoctrinated their entire lives. Do we think anybody really got into this who's not a Talmud reader? No. They went with the Torah. They went with the first five books of the Old Testament. So let's draw that line between these elite groups that want to control the world and the general Jewish population.
Well, there's no doubt that the head of the snake is the religious rabbinical Chabad supremacist, Jewish supremacist death cult. The same types, you know, the Jared Kushner 666 type folks out there who are whispering in the ears of most of our world leaders, including Putin, including Trump even. These guys have all the power. This is the connected group. And this is also where we find them crawling out of tunnels under Chabad centers, the most popular, biggest Chabad center in the country in Brooklyn, across the street where they had tunnels dug to a little girl's bathroom in a museum. And under these tunnels, I think you recall Tunnelgate, where they were pulling out soiled mattresses, adjustable high chairs, soiled diapers, bloody cloths, etc. So this cult, that group, is the same group that has been kicked out of 109 nations for either poisoning the well, betrayal, or eating children, like St. Simon of Trent. And that group is absolutely satanic. That is the bloodline of Satan, and they run the world. And, you know, a lot of what we see that is what we call the elite or the child sacrifice, or people call it adrenochrome and stuff. It's just blood ritual magic that the Bible has talked about for a long time. Not everybody who thinks they're a Jew really even are Jews. There's a lot of confusion around the genetic testing, and they've been caught lying to people about their genetics as well in order to confuse people and to push evolution. But the rabbinical families, and not all of them, but the really devout rabbinical families pass these kind of teachings down, and they do not teach the average Jew this. They actually think it will get them caught if they teach all the Jews this, in fact. So they only teach it to sort of like a father-son rabbinical bloodline thing. And you keep getting caught. You keep seeing rabbis getting caught, not just I'll give you one of the grossest examples I can think of. It was kind of recent. One rabbi was caught selling hundreds, I think it was maybe hundreds, maybe thousands, but hundreds of foreskins from babies that were fried up like onion rings. He was arrested for this. So this is the kind of thing that happens with that group. And it goes right back to the Talmud. It goes right back, which is what they use to train the rabbis. What can you say?
It's disgusting on a spectacular level. And that whole thing about, we're not going to go into detail here, but that bloodletting at the time of circumcision with the little boys,
yeah,
and the rabbi's face in close proximity to the circumcision site. There's three of them right here, folks. Go to a search engine that'll actually turn up some results for you. Go to Yandex. Because you're going to be punching and punching and punching. Google's only going to give you the results it thinks you want. Okay, but it's like, we have to talk about the mysterious tunnel found, .. I'll be brief. I will be very brief. But let's see, it was 770 Eastern Parkway in Crown Heights, Brooklyn. And
yeah,
here are just a few headlines. Let's see, what actually happened underneath the Chabad Lubavitch. A secret tunnel was discovered underneath the Chabad offices and synagogues on Eastern Parkway in Crown Heights. And then that's just a little bit that comes under the headline. And then the riot broke out in a historic Brooklyn synagogue Monday night when a group of young men, Orthodox men, tried to climb and push their way into an illegally constructed tunnel. So what was that all about? Did the New York Slimes run a full front, cover the front of the other newspaper with any information about this? Probably not. I don't know. So look, this is really, folks, what makes you think you weren't born for a time such as this? When have you ever heard any of this information? Maybe ever in your life. Of course it's like a slap in the face. The truth is a slap in the face. It's the old, thanks, I needed that. We better figure out who we are. Time's running out. Look, people are rattling their nuclear sabers now. Russia just conducted the test because they're afraid NATO's going to... NATO has been pretty vocal about wanting to get it on with the Russian Federation and use nuclear weapons if necessary. Atomic weapons. Only a maniac would do this. Only a maniac would do this. All right, let's get into some more because I'm telling you, I'm so... Once you see... And once you check yourself, once you've spent more than enough time trying to prove yourself wrong and you recognize the truth, it is beyond sobering. So,
yes.
Dustin, touch on this. Federal funding, to me, federal funding of universities or anything else is poison. Over to you.
Yeah.
Think university.
Oh, yeah, it comes with all those strings that they're going to use to force you to, you know, let girls into boys' bathrooms and such later. Absolutely. And it always was a bad deal. Of course, they always try to mask it as, you know, for the common good, et cetera. But at the end of the day, it has gotten much, much worse. There was a recent attempt at the federal level. I forget the exact law, where they basically changed the discrimination laws to allow at every school everywhere across the country and in other bathrooms, a man can go into women's bathrooms and such now. And if you don't comply with that kind of thing, at the very least, you're going to lose your funding. At the most, you're going to get arrested for discrimination, just like if you were discriminating against someone for being gay or black, etc. They're now considered a protected class. So that is something that you will see, and that's one of the more obvious and horrific examples of federal funding. But you look at the foreign aid funding. It's worse probably there.
Now, where the Federal Reserve 40 years ago, I was said, you know, the Federal Reserve is about as federal as Federal Express, and that that expression kind of took off. I'm not gonna claim it was me that did it, but I didn't hear anybody else say it because they didn't know anything about it. So how is it that they operate as private entities rather than government institutions, these central banks such as the Federal Reserve? What are the implications, in your opinion, of this distinction for economic policy and maybe some public accountability?
Well, they're a corruption layer, a criminal network of banksters that are laid over our government and given sort of a veneer and badges and such, but they have no lawful authority. I mean, that the Federal Reserve Act was never properly ratified, and the taxes are not legal. In fact, certain taxes, income tax, for example, are not legally applied. We've even had IRS agents like beat the IRS in court on this, and we've had documentaries proving it, et cetera. They can't even name the law, so there is no law that requires us to pay it, et cetera. But if you try that, you will get arrested. I mean, this is not the kind of thing I'm suggesting people go do, because they do control the courts completely. We're in a communist revolution. The laws no longer even matter. But they will exploit, abuse, and they'll also have, it's called PILPL, but they'll enact tortured reasoning to flip logic on its head. So that's where you see, for example, the victim of an assault is suddenly the one who's charged with assault because of politics, that kind of thing. And they'll make it work. They'll make it stick. Suddenly the J6 protesters are mass terrorists despite not bringing any weapons or doing any damage, et cetera. So that's the way that they will, weaponize this. And I think I probably rambled a little bit there and got off topic.
No, it's... Look, the thing about it is, I'm not known for tiptoeing around of really any subject, but it seems incumbent upon us to be direct and as delicate as possible, because this information is, you know, again, I say it's a slap across the face of so many people, but I mean, look at all the people who have either chaired the Federal Reserve in this country or are currently chairing it. And the other people that are involved in the Federal Bank of the United States, or the Federal Reserve Bank of the United States. I mean, all of these are interlinked. Don't they take their marching orders from the City of London anyway? If they don't, please say so.
Yeah, they have a connected network, and you know, the IMF and some other things have a part to play in that. But basically, you know, it's one group of people that are dominating all of these banks, of course, and the professional, the private as well as the government banks, the quasi-government banks. So, you know, you've got these central banks dominating pretty much every country in the world, and the last few have fell recently that did not have one. I'm not sure there are any left. And then you have the entire private banking industry, which is being more and more monopolized. I mean, there aren't that many small credit union type banks left, and they have been increasingly gobbled up, and the laws have made it easier. And it's like with the fake news industry. It's completely crooked and corrupted, and you know they have too much power there. So you know, finance, media, culture, Hollywood, Hollyweird, war. The military-industrial complex, all of the wars that they have started, like, you know, everything from Pearl Harbor to the Gulf of Tonkin with Vietnam, all either fake or created to happen, like forced to happen, for example, in some situations. Or they just took advantage of a crisis and then lied about it sometimes. That's the kind of waste. Never let a good crisis go to waste, like Emmanuel said. So, you know, you have a lot of angles at the way that they weaponize the system, but it is being increasingly weaponized from finance to government funding to the border. I could go on and on and on.
Yeah, I know it. Well, let me order something off the menu here. I'm thinking, and please do me a favor, do everybody a favor. If you hear me go off the rails and go off into la la land here, so to speak, just say no. Wait a minute. Pull the cord on the train. You're going the wrong way. It looks to me like that whole October 7th invasion of the state of Israel by a bunch of guys with pickup trucks and hang gliders, with a three-day heads up from Egypt, the seven-hour stand down from the IDF, and a lot of phony photography, including that little gal Shoni, who was supposed to have been raped and killed and driven around the back of a pickup truck nude for hours. Well, none of that is true, any more than it's true that Anne Frank died in a concentration camp. She didn't. That's just how it is. We have a 96-year-old friend who was there. She knows about all of this stuff. So now let's see. Let's just look at this strategically. So now we must stand with Israel. Okay. And now we want to pass legislation that forbids any criticism of either the state of Israel or Jewish people generally. Okay. Particularly where there's any federal funding involved. Okay, fine. So you do that. And what is that supposed to do to the people in this country who are not friendly toward the state of Israel? And in my opinion, justifiably so. That piece of land was taken by force. All you have to do is just study for a couple of hours. Devote a couple of hours to it, you'll find out really quickly there wasn't any, the UN created the state of Israel. No, I'm afraid that's not entirely accurate. So, but it doesn't matter, folks. This is the resurgence of global communism. Well, who are the communists? Well, let's start with Karl Marx. Then let's go to Vladimir Lenin, who started Zionism. Theodore Herzl. Is there really a Star of David? David didn't have a star. That's a Babylonian symbol. That's a Star of Moloch. It's just weird because these are the last days. Stand by for more. Ladies and gentlemen, I decided to do a little math here. And I did a little research during the break. And from the year 2024 and onwards, the average global life expectancy gets set to increase even further from 73.67 years to 82.06 years. So, okay, I picked 75. 27 lifetimes. 27 lifetimes. At 75 years, you divide 2024 by 75 years, 27 lifetimes. Now, it gets even, and you go all the way to 36 if you divide that figure by 0.75, simply because if you live 75 years, let's say you have your kids when you're about 25, and they go on to live 75 years, so that means they'll live 25 years beyond your life. And so there's an algorithm there, but the long and the short of it is not very many lifetimes. I mean, far less than 100 lifetimes. We'll take you all the way back to year zero between BC and Anno Domini as we carry on now with Dustin Nemos. So, Dustin, people think 1,000 years, that's a long time. Not really. Look at how our lives, look how fast the years have gone by just in our own personal lives. Nobody can deny this because life is short. So let me ask you something here. I just wanted to toss that out there. Do you think the First Amendment is going to, what are you seeing? What symptoms might you be seeing that would indicate either the First Amendment's going to hold solid or the First Amendment's not going to hold solid. They're going to make an amendment to the amendment. Or the third option is getting all federal funding out of the universities. Because that's where the trouble starts. Everybody talks about the young people in the coffee houses talking about politics. Yeah, right. That's cliche. But how do you see this going? I know you don't know, but what do you think?
Well, I see, you know, full communist uprising, and it has never been turned back by respect for the law or concern for well-being of the people or moral implications or anything like that. I think they're a cornered animal. They're at their most desperate ever, and they're going to go full force. They're certainly not going to try to, like, take money out of the colleges and pull a tentacle of theirs out of anything. I think they're going to go for everything, and they're going to try to, you know, just maintain as much power as possible. And, you know, Europe, the West, much of the world, in fact, not everywhere and not all the time, but most people have had a fairly open, you know, speech policy, not always the kind of free speech that we're used to here, and not even close. But in terms of what was allowed to be said, they have always done this kind of thing. And I look to, for example, Weimar Germany, right before they lose power, and I think Goebbels even wrote something about this, but right before they lose power, they always censor criticism of them. And that's when the bread and circuses have failed. That's when the carrot stops working and they have to start using the stick. But that's right before they lose power. I see all of that coming, and I think it's not just obvious, but we have tons of historical precedent. It's happened many times before.
Now, can you believe the ACLU has called for the Senate to block this bill, 6090? You believe that? That's the first thing that I've been able to applaud, maybe ever.
Yeah. And I wanted to mention, I forgot to bring this up because you were talking about Israel and Hamas and such. Israel started ISIS and Hamas with the CIA, and we even have Netanyahu. I'll give you a quote from him. Quote, anyone who wants to thwart the establishment of a Palestinian state has to support bolstering Hamas and transferring money to Hamas, end quote. We've also caught some of their, you know, so-called top terrorists, which were Jews, et cetera. So, you know, this is another false flag controlled op in order to keep the Palestinian two-state solution from ever happening. But in the full context of this, the Palestinians were living there in peaceful villages for a long time, and then the West and the Jews decide to take it from them, and we move in with essentially militaries. And in today's world, you have the Israeli having tanks, jets, missiles, nukes that they stole from us and are not allowed to have, and we're not supposed to give them any foreign aid if they don't join the nuclear non-proliferation treaty. But they still get it from us anyway. And they have all these weapons, and they have soldiers and, you know, ammo and you know, all the modern amenities of a first world nation, tons of free stuff for their army. The Palestinians are barely able to eat. They're barely able to get water as the Israelis fill in their wells with poison or with concrete. There's videos of just watching them pouring concrete in the wells so that they can deny the land that these people have been living on for generations. So, you know, it was essentially just an ethnic cleansing from day one all the way up until now, with the support of the West, mostly the U.S., and also Churchill, which was like the Joe Biden of the U.K. in his time, and a pedophile. And, you know, it's just been a maneuvering, and they're ready for their new world order now. They're ready to bring the end goal of communism, which is one world government with them on top and everybody else underneath them.
Well, here they are in a stack from realcurrencies.wordpress.com. Most, if not all, central banks are banker-owned. The families of the banking moguls historically converted to Judaism and today maintain that front, but in practice they're Satanists. That's what this one says. And then this one from Lord Dreadnought. Jews have been accused for hundreds of years of exerting negative influence over nations through their control of banking, specifically local money lending, high finance, and central banking together. And then USA Today. This is really funny. The Rothschilds, USA Today, no kidding, from March 31st, 2023. The Rothschilds are a Jewish banking family that has long been the subject of anti-Semitic conspiracy theories, claiming the family has exerted influence on regional and national events since the early 19th century, according to the Anti-Defamation League. Well, duh. They don't. I mean, so the question is, what? There is no, I mean, other than a spiritual solution, what solution is there to this? They're not stopping. They're not going to stop.
Well, this is where only those who have faith will have much hope. I was a big Trump guy for a long time, and, you know, I helped to lead the Q movement for a long time. They called me a king of QAnon because I thought that's where our hope lied. But I no longer have faith in Trump, and although there's an absolute connection between those two, I just don't believe Trump's going to be our savior. He's talking about being king of Israel and, quote, I am the chosen one, end quote, et cetera. And he gave us the mark of the beast poison. So I don't see Trump as the hope that everyone else sees. So for me, for a long time, for about a year and a half, I was going through a very dark place. The poets call it a dark night of the soul. And I saw this cliff approaching. So I understand very, very much that, and I'm a father and I have kids to worry about too, and I'm a husband. I understand people are afraid. So the next part I want to give you is the silver lining and the hope, and that is that God wins in the end. And prophecy, although I was a lifelong atheist for a long time, when I studied God, when I tested all things and hold fast that which is true, like he tells us to do, the only God to say, test me, you know. When I did that, I found the prophecy is 100% accurate across thousands of years, hundreds or thousands of times, and in sync with one another. Blind prophecies that the deep state can't fake. And I study the difference between their fake prophecies, like on the back of the dollar bill, the, you know, resurrection of the Nephilim from Virgil's poem, which is what the dollar fake prophecy is, and the real deal, where God can, you know, call specific dates hundreds or thousands of years in advance, that kind of thing. And prophecy says they're all going to get wiped out in Obadiah 18 after a worldwide revolution, the same kind of revolution that has happened about 100 times already. And I'll give you one example. After the so-called Black Plague, which was not a plague, but them dumping poison in Christian wells, killing 30% of Christians in the world, one-third gone from poison, children, everything. 300 of their villages were put to the fire. That's what's coming, and I'm not calling for it. I'm just saying this is what's in prophecy. That is the end game. A worldwide revolution from all of the angry people whose grandmas were just killed with the jab.
And who was behind that? Who staffed most of the entire COVID-19 scamdemic, starting with Rochelle, or what the heck was her name? Walensky.
Walensky.
At CDC. Yeah. Here's the thing. Oh, a dark night of the soul.
Yeah.
It's really something. Ladies and gentlemen, we don't know where we're going to be 15 minutes from now. Not really. Not really. We don't know how long we're going to live. And forget about AI. That's enough to make it. Will AI predict how long I'm going to live? So what? Maybe it can, and maybe it can't. But the point is, we have reached that moment where we have to make a decision. And it literally is all the way in or all the way out. So I want you to consider deeply of this. We don't know each other personally. But I'm telling you, you need to make a decision. You need to allow yourself to believe it. And then you'll see it. But don't go the other way. God doesn't have to prove. Father God doesn't have to prove anything to you. You're in the world. Look at your, this is your life. You're alive. You're in the world. I don't understand how it's even possible for us to have drifted so far away and decided, oh, well, nothing is known. There's no God. There's no supreme being. I mean, really, your little peanut brain came up with that one. That's genius. How far off do you think it is, the conflagration? It's obvious that this new world order, they just want to consolidate everything, eliminate a bunch of people, and claim victory over the earth. We own it all. That's it. End of story.
Yeah.
I believe that this thing is contrived to create a real problem, and the triggers are going to be the state of Israel and the Palestinians, and they're all raising hell over here, quite literally, trying to raise it right up here to ground level. So do you have any sense of how far off something really, really spectacular? I mean, that where we crossed the Rubicon and now we're up to our necks and there's no going back, no more negotiation, none of that. Do you sense any of this? If you don't, it's perfectly okay, but I thought maybe you did, because I can't put my finger on a date. I just can't.
I do. I have a sense of it. I mean, from historical context of what's happened in precedent, for example, again, Weimar Germany is one of hundreds. I believe that we are months away from a major shift. First of all, they need to regain control of the narrative. So I expect another 9/11 very soon, something to turn West versus Middle East, because they really want Christian and Muslim to kill each other right now so that people aren't looking at them dropping bombs on babies again. But I don't know that that's going to work. I think they're going to continue to lose control of the narrative, and governments are just going to clamp down. And I think that that won't really start in our nation as hard. And maybe they'll do some things like J6 before Trump comes in. But I believe that Trump term two is what the Bible calls the Great Tribulation. And I personally, having looked into it, didn't want to say it for about a year. I believe Trump is the son of perdition, the Antichrist, and he fits virtually every single box that you have to check to be the specific Antichrist, the son of perdition in prophecy, the beast, the one that convinces the world to take the jab, the world leader. The things that he's doing, the promises that he's making, the way that we're setting ourselves up for destruction, they're setting us up for destruction with our food supply, war, famine, disease, etc. right now. And by the way, only one nation that took the jab is not having a fertility crisis. No babies for anyone else, just Israel. They get to keep having children. Their fertility went up, actually. As RFK Jr. alluded to, it was a bioweapon that was race specific, and it was built that way. It was built to kill Whitey. And every aspect of that axe was also them. So if you want to go look at the official Operation Warp Speed, or Warp Seed, I call it, logo, it'll tell you Mark of the Beast, 666, forehead, hand, raised in praise, and your soul. It's all there in symbolism, and mostly in Hebrew. So, I don't know how to say it in a way that would convince people. This sounds nuts, especially if you're not a Christian. If you're looking for the signs that we're called to look for, they are red alert all around you. If you're looking at the signs that have happened before, historically speaking, it's about to get bad. If you're looking at the signs around you in the modern era, prices are going up. I mean, the price of eggs tripled last year. It's going to get worse. Now they're supposedly finding bird flu in cow milk, and it's, killing other animals. It doesn't even make any sense. They're just making it up or putting it there. But they are coming, and they're coming from every angle that you can imagine.
Yeah, they've already told us that, there's going to be the gates. Ugh, I'd like to see that one swing. Did I really say that out loud? Yeah, I did. I wanted to leave a little bit of wiggle room, because I don't like to, make some proclamation, some reckless proclamation. I don't do that. But when this thing first started, the moment that I saw those HIV insertions into the so-called virus, I said, that's a bioweapon. I wonder if it's the holy grail of terrorism. I wonder if it's a genetically targetable bioweapon. And it turns out to be exactly that. And you're right, Israel, the state of Israel, has a 2.7 replacement factor. It's the only country on the face of the earth that is above replacement level for their population. It's astounding.
And, so, every organized evil, like I said before, it's always them every single time, always was. And with very few exceptions, maybe you can find like some local gang of kids that are probably poor and in that situation because of the people running the world. So then it's them again, just indirectly. But it's almost always them. Every war, every city that's burnt, when London burnt twice, it was them. When Chicago burnt, it was them. When Rome was burnt by the Roman Emperor Nero, it was because a Jewish girlfriend convinced him to kick his pregnant wife to death. and blame it on the Christians and burn down the Roman city of Rome and then blame it on the Christians. And that's when they started to throw them to the Colosseum lions and force them to fight each other in the pits and crucify them and burn them alive, as was so famous of Roman persecution of Christians, pre-Catholicism. So, I mean, it's always been them. They just have this thing out to get us, and it's right there in Genesis 3:15. God promised that there would be war between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent.
Do you know, this is something off the menu here, but we ran this on the video portion of the program that airs, as you may know, 30 minutes before we start to go to air here. People are in podcast land now. You can tell them this is an over-the-air radio broadcast. They still don't get it. They still call it a podcast, but okay, whatever. But do you know the number six? Do you assign any significance to this repeated number? Part of the video prologue last week consisted of a man who had meticulously researched front pages and articles from the New York Times, and there was one from the Montreal Gazette. New York Times, 1914, December 2nd, said 6 million Jews are worried about the, I'm paraphrasing, but this was the message, this was the headline. 6 million Jews worried about the onset of the Great War, of a Great War in Europe. Then, okay, that's 1914, but 6 million are worried about the onset. 1914. And then this man went through the research, said he wants page 11 or he wants 6 or whatever, and he shows that day 1921, 1928, 1933, years and years and years, they're using the term Holocaust. And it's the same 6 million number in all of these articles spread out over years, like 15 years before before World War II even broke out. And that was staged. Yeah. They made it look like Germans had attacked some radio station in Poland. And Hitler goes, that's it, but we're going in. This is Bravo Sears, what this is. Why is it 6 million? What is this 6 million fixation? Do you have an opinion on that at all? If you don't, we can move on. But I just thought it was noteworthy.
Well, they were floating that number for some time beforehand, and I don't remember exactly where it originated. But what's important is that it was actually a little bit more than that afterwards. There was no Holocaust. I call it the Holo hoax. It actually is a word that means burnt offering, which is kind of another rabbit hole for you to go down. But there was zero evidence for it. I mean, not a single bit of evidence other than eyewitnesses that were basically paid for the rest of their lives for lying. They were given welfare off the backs of the German people for being, you know, so-called victims. There were people that died in the camps after Allied bombing caused starvation and typhus outbreaks, and they were shaved to prevent lice infestations, a problem they still have today in Israel very commonly. However, no piles of human ashes were ever found. No mass graves were ever found that were from them. It was actually the other side causing a lot of the mass graves, like the Holodomor victims of Russia, communism, which were the Jews killing people, Christians mostly. No German documents were ever found mentioning any plans to exterminate the Jews. I could just keep going. There's zero evidence. The buildings didn't make sense. Wooden doors on so-called gas chambers. Gas chambers that would have exploded because they were not airtight. Cremation that would not have made sense because even by today's standards, we can only cremate with a modern cremation machine or truck, like a few bodies a day. And they would have had to do thousands of bodies a day in old tech back then, which was not possible by their math. None of this makes any sense, and it has been proven in court cases. But they have so much power that you are punished if you dare question it. And this gives them the ability to call anybody who criticizes them a racist Nazi for being a nationalist or for being a Christian or for criticizing them or for saying, hey, why are you eating all those babies?
And Zyklon B, which I believe was developed by Bayer, the Bayer company. It's a pesticide. Yes. And designed to kill lice. Typhus is caused from lice infestation. The baby boomers will remember. I don't know if they still do it. Maybe they do, but you'd have to go to the nurse's office. And she'd run an ultraviolet light over your head to check you for lice, because lice caused typhus. And we even had a video segment, a woman who survived the Holocaust, the so-called Holocaust, which I agree with you is a total hollow hoax completely. She said, oh, we thought we were going, we'd heard about gas chambers and so forth. And we went into the showers. We were all scared to death, and soap and water came out of the showers. and thousands of babies. I'm using, ladies and gentlemen, please, for Pete's sake, research this. You will find thousands of babies were born at Auschwitz. Not a thousand, thousands. It's just a fact. We've been rolled over and white grafted big time. Dustin, it's a pleasure to speak with you. I hope we can do this again soon. I'd say the time for getting it said is now.
Yeah, you're right about that. Our time is short, and I expect persecution in the States and in the West within a year.
Okay, well, I guess we'll just see, won't we? Folks, don't fool around with this. Please don't fool around with this. Eternity is a very, very long time. God bless you, everyone, and good night.